You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Ed Alexander, thanks for doing a nice job.
Morning, Deesa. It's Monday. We're trying to get awake here.
Candidate Palooza tomorrow for primary. And before we get to Ken LaCourte, one last announcement. This past Saturday, Catalina State Park up on my side of town did open up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to let you do any big picnics or anything. I guess
no more than 10 people kind of thing.
Of course they don't. You know, I think a mudslide is going to come kill you while you're eating your ham sandwich at a picnic table.
Right. But some of the trails are still closed, a couple of them in the forest part, the National Forest part. But otherwise, go take a hike.
You take a hike.
I will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's go to the phones. We have Ken LaCourte, Media Action Network. Used to be one of those big fat cats at Fox News years ago. Ken, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Is it okay if I called you a former Fox fat cat? Is that okay?
Yeah, there was probably a better term, but fat cat works.
Where are you calling from today?
I am calling from the lovely San Francisco Bay Area.
Well, God bless you. God bless you.
Where they've started allowing us to walk outside a little bit once in a while.
I had, who was it, Nulty from Breitbart call up, and he was getting chased on a beach in L.A. when he called up. So this is what happens. So let's start off. We had these the frontline docs in front of the Supreme Court last week. We even had the Bakersfield doctor who made so much sense in May, and then he disappeared for a while, but he came back. Tell us, give us the fallout from that. What's happened since?
You know, these things are crazy. I mean, look, the left has certainly adopted a, if you can't beat them, ban them attitude towards political speech over the past few years. Really started off on the college campuses when they were screaming and whistling and tying themselves to prevent a conservative speaker from coming speaking. And now all those kids are working at Google and Twitter and all the places where basically our kind of political forum where we talk. So these doctors go out there, and I think there was seven or nine of them, and you know, they came out saying hydrochloroquine is better than what you're hearing in the media. And look, some of them I felt were over the top. Others were completely reasonable and good sounding. But you know, big tech just clamped down completely. They were booted off of Twitter. People who shared their video were frozen from Twitter for a while, including the president's son. They were banned off of YouTube and Facebook. You mentioned Nolte and Breitbart. Breitbart was actually streaming that press conference, and they were yanked down as well. So the censorship machine that they started off with the far crazies and the Nazis now comes to, if you're a doctor who is licensed to practice in the United States of America and you have a different view on things than the WHO, we're going to ban you.
Yeah, it's astounding that these voices, and we were talking about this earlier. We have a listener who's in the medical technology business, and he says, "Hey, doctors are trained to quote practice medicine, right? Every patient's different, and they know the needs of this person." And you know, we have a governor that's Republican in Arizona who actually banned hydroxy for COVID.
Yes, two states did that for a little bit, and then none did it, and then. It is. Look, they have become the church of the 1600s. I mean, remember Copernicus used to be banned, and Galileo had problems with the church because they violated the orthodoxy. It's like, you know, all good scientific progress often comes from one person who's out of the mainstream. So the concept that we're silencing these voices is just purely anti-science.
So, Doctor,
so, you know, I do a daily newsletter. So I was writing this thing up. You know, we do kind of action to get people involved, sign this petition, go this, fight against the liberal media. Friday, I'm pushing to get out of the office. I write up this big thing about Copernicus, about Inyaz Semmelweis, who had the crazy notion of wash your hands before you deliver babies, and then drove him out of medicine and into an insane asylum. I hit send on it. And my tech guy calls me 30 seconds ago and says, we've just been banned from MailChimp, our email service provider, because they caught words in there. You know, first they get you through algorithms. So I had sent out this newsletter to, I got, 30,000 people, and our account got shut down within a minute after that because it clicked off some of those words. We eventually got that undone over the weekend, but that's how they get you to stop talking about things that they don't want you to talk about. Is through this, either humans or, now we always blame the algorithm.
So now the saddest part about the frontline docs, and I know they regret it, right, is the doctor from Houston who was so animated, right? Her background of some of the things she said in other things is the thing that's coming back to haunt them, right? Is everyone's like, oh man, she's great. And then some of her statements in the past are a little different. I'm going to be charitable right now.
Yeah, and I think she's a bit nutty. I mean, it's okay to say that. She was like, it's a cure. And I'm like, well, come on. It's not debunked and it's not a cure. And then it's like, well, she went to school in Africa, and you're like, okay, maybe they don't have the same standard as LMU and whatnot. But look, that's how the media works. That, there were nine doctors there. They dug into each one of their backgrounds. They will find something either stupid that somebody said in the live thing that they tweeted when they were 19 or a lawsuit, and they will blow that up and make that big. It's always working hand in hand with these guys. But that's their excuse to basically muzzle someone completely. As we found something that we don't like about you, or that people shouldn't like about you.
So let's elevate this to two eggheads that have been ignored: Ioannidis at Stanford, right, and Harvey Riche at Yale, right. If Harvey doesn't go on with Laura Ingraham, you wouldn't find out anything else about Harvey Riche out there about how he said HCQ can save 100,000 lives right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I worked in the medical industry. I am always, every time somebody comes out and says, I've got anecdotal evidence, I always kind of roll my eyes, because that's just kind of not how medicine is done often. On the other hand, we're in the middle of an evolving pandemic. We've had our top experts do 180 degrees on things. When I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the top medical doctors in the United States who are the official voices, just what, 2 months ago, said, well, no, masks could actually do more harm than good. So, don't wear a mask. It's not necessary unless you're a provider. Now you're a murderer if you don't wear a mask. So it's like, man, things evolve very quickly, even among the top people on the same disease.
I had the Surgeon General on Adams a couple of Fridays ago, and he was a no mask guy when this first thing first happened, and now he's a mask guy. But I had to kind of hammer him to kind of say, is the best you're going to tell me is they kind of work? And that's, I finally got him down to, yeah, they kind of work. That was the best I got.
Right. Right. There's a lot of things in medicine and in life. It's like, well, common sense would seem this, and often that's the case. Then when they do their double blind studies, and often it's not, which is, again, it's why you need more voices. It's why you need more voices in the political debate, and not these five companies that you don't know who their vice president is. You might know Zuckerberg, but no one else in that company, and they can close off political thought to millions of Americans.
So
we do every single day.
I was just reading off the amount of money the taxpayers have sent to pharmaceutical companies for vaccines, right? So it's a bill to Moderna, $420 to Johnson & Johnson, $1 billion to AstraZeneca, $1.6 million to Novavax, and $500 million to Regeneron. Is this part of the reason why no one wants there's a good portion of the crew out there that doesn't want to talk about HCQ?
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to really dig that. I'm not kind of conspiratorial.
All right. So why? Why the campaign against HCQ in Ken LaCourte's mind?
I mean, Orange Band Bad was the first thing. I mean, right? I mean, Trump said this is a miracle drug. Now Trump talked out of his ear a lot, and if it was a miracle drug, we'd all know it, right? Like, it's probably something that, in combination with certain other drugs, at certain point in the coronavirus stage, that it does some good. I mean, there are tens of thousands of doctors prescribing this stuff in America and in the world every day. If it was a cure-all, we'd all know it, right? So, but Trump touted it. So literally, your state and...
Well, Ohio did it, and then they just reversed it.
Right, and I want to say Michigan did it right away, too. I mean, they were like, oh, my gosh, Trump likes... I mean, look, Trump could cure cancer, and there'd be a pro-cancer contention going on in America. You know, we'd be seeing on NBC, look at this cancer doctor. He's out of work now because Trump cured cancer. I mean, you know, so much of the world is just spotted around that. And then you get the nuts who came out of the woodwork, and then you get a lot of, like, studies on both sides of it. And there's some quasi-serious studies on both sides of this saying it either does nothing or it does something.
So even the ones that are critical of HCQ, all they'll tell you is it didn't do really that much, right? But the narrative is it's going to do harm. And I don't see that.
I think they had when it was combined with some other drug that it was doing some extra heart and this and that. But, I mean, look, it's been around forever and for use in malaria. And there's something about malaria with this disease. Look, there's a lot of countries who everybody should be dead, right? I mean, India. India's not getting this thing all that badly. And it's not like they're oh, my gosh, they've got such a great healthcare system, or they take such good cleanliness care of themselves. Pakistan, a lot. If you look at a map of the WHO and the countries where they're worried and fight malaria, there's almost a direct overlay of those countries that are doing very, very well on this. Like all of Asia. I mean, it's like, okay, we look at Japan, okay, they got their act together. We look at North Korea, yes, they did contact tracing. But then you look through, you know, malaria, Singapore, you know, you look at the Philippines, you look at Laos, you look at, it's like all of these countries have crazily low levels of death rate in this. I mean, like Hawaii and Alaska, low levels. And it's not because they did anything all that brilliant, because it's just too many big, crowded, a lot of Africa. But countries where they've been fighting malaria, for some reason, are doing better. Maybe it's an accident, or maybe this is all kind of mixed up in there, and they've got some antibodies in their body.
Or maybe there's a good portion of them preventively taking HCQ for malaria. But that's a whole other story. So my last—I
doubt everybody in Africa is taking HCQ.
So Dharavi, India was celebrated by the World Health Organization for that slum of 650,000 people. Because of their combination of using HCQ antibiotics, no masks, no social distancing. So there's something there. Oh, my last question for you before I let you go is, we know we can't trust the mainstream media. We can't trust most elected officials. I can't trust most health officials. And I know I can't trust hospital administrators anymore. For data, where does Ken LaCourte go to find some approximation of the truth?
It's down to just you and me, I guess.
Yikes!
Look, I find it vital in these days that you get your information from a wide variety of sources. A, I don't trust what you just said. In other words, if you're going to not trust any doctor, any news, or any hospital administrator, sure, you might as well just go kill yourself, right? You know, realize that everybody in life has their own point of view. They have, some of them also have very different incentives to do certain things. Doctors have incentives to make money, so do hospitals. That doesn't mean they're trying to kill you or will sell you out. Online and news organizations, they have incentives to make you click on their headline. And once you've clicked on their headline, they've made their 2 cents by those ads in that. 90% of the media right now has a strong incentive to get you to vote against the orange man come November, and that's driving all that. So, you know, but look, most people are telling the truth. Most people, despite their various incentives in life, are trying to do the right thing and get information out in instances like this. But you have to go to a wide variety of sources. You really do. And my shtick at the Media Action Network is we're a place for, as the media has gotten crazy and turned completely liberal, instead of just complaining about it, it's actually literally an action group where we can get keyboard warriors to go kind of expose the left-wing media, protect their victims, and try to turn that around day by day online.
What's the website, sir?
It is just those three words, mediaactionnetwork.com. and it's all about the daily newsletter because that's the only way that I can get on every day and not get censored, I mean, except for Friday.
Yeah, don't piss off MailChimp. So, all right, have a good day, Ken. Good talking to you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
8:23 in the morning. Christy, Simone, Ed Alexander, and you. We got to dive into the world of education a little bit here. We're going to talk about the UC Santa Barbara guy losing his mind and other things going on. Maybe something with the Arizona Education Association that's just a little goofy. So, wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk. Hey now, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show at Alexander, Christy, Simone. Let's go right to the phones. Chris King, who's now a subject of a sexy commercial.
Oh, really?
Oh.
I missed that.
Oh, my! I'm watching my Pluto TV, right, on the old streamer, this, watching some classic Doctor Who with Tom Baker, and it interrupts me for a Martha McSally commercial. And there's this lean, mean fighting machine, right? It's got the tats on the arm on his truck, looking like a, you know, a Toby Keith video.
Yeah.
And I'm like, son of a B, that's King.
Here he is live. Look at this. In a truck, no less.
Why are we being so honored by a big TV commercial star's presence here today, Chris? Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Ed. Hope you all had a great weekend. On my way down to elections, we're still in the process of counting all those early ballots.
Now, what's the trend been with these things coming back? Are they saying? I assume they're higher than they were 4 years ago, right?
Haven't really looked at that. I can tell you the raw numbers, and the numbers are actually doing pretty decently. So on the primary side, we've got about 120,000, just under 121,000 counted already. There's about 150,000 to 200,000 that have been returned out of the 365,000 that were sent out.
So I also feel like we're going to see a higher trend in the mail-ins because one, of course, is, you know, what's going on in the world with COVIDs and things. At the same time, I think we're going to see more D's than we've seen in a long time also because there's so many contested primaries.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know, so not just Padres Bronson, then you got the Phil Richards seat between Grijalva's Swan and Consuelo Hernandez, right? Who you should be voting for Consuelo in that one, people. Then there's the Alma Hernandez, Andres Cano, Javier Soto one. That's a whole kerfuffle. So I think you guys are gonna see some even more numbers than in a long time for a primary.
Oh yeah, and even on the Republican side, there's quite a few. Republican primaries there too. You've got District 1, District 4, Congressional District 3, Congressional District 1.
2.
All of those have their battles laid out in front of them as well.
So before I let you go, give me the Chris King, give me the lay of the land and the confidence level of what you're seeing down there. Let's do that.
Okay, so the confidence level of what we're seeing down there is the men and women down there that are doing the counting, they're running these ballots through the machines. These people are the old consummate professionals. So they are in there. They're actually running. You know, we'll be running till about hopefully probably 5 o'clock tonight, and then we'll be back in there tomorrow morning. The elections folks will be in there at 5 a.m. and then they'll be there till the last ballot is counted tomorrow night.
Okay,
which could be somewhere around 2 o'clock in the morning. Wednesday.
Gotcha.
So it's a long day. It's a long day for them. We'll go in probably around anywhere between 1 and 3 tomorrow, and we'll be there until it's all over as well.
And you're in there as an observer for the GOP?
Yes. There's observers for the Republican and the Democrat Party. The major parties are allowed to come in there and observe and everything else. There's also a kind of like a viewing room, so if you like a maternity ward, where the media will go out there and, you know, actually shoot video on the inside, and they'll have interviews out there with Brad Nelson, who's the head of elections.
Okay.
So
very cool. All right.
It's actually kind of interesting. But the public is also eligible to come in there. They'll just enter through the door and they'll look and they can actually watch the whole process as it goes on.
And if you want to see, Chris King eating a granola bar, you could do that too.
Yeah, you can also do that on the live camera because they have cameras that watch into the election room constantly, day, night.
Actually, this is the thing that John Brakey caught on them 4 years ago watching. He's one of those psychos who always has the feed on at his house, and he saw something that was improper 4 years ago. So it's good to have that camera there.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, Chris, well, thanks for everything. And again, thanks for looking so sexy in that McSally commercial. That's amazing.
I'm driving that truck right now. It was my truck, so it's all good.
Yeah, I figure Martha, she's not going to, no one's going to make King do a, some sort of prop truck, so.
It was actually kind of interesting. We'll have to talk about that over lunch sometime.
I definitely would do that. Well, stay there for 2 seconds. Bill number two has something to tell you before you leave. Billy number two, you're on with sexy movie actor Chris King.
Hey, that's exciting. Hey, guys. I was just letting Chris know that looks like L.A. Stole his idea of dining in parking lots. Remember that, Chris?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, I didn't have your email to send. I sent it to Chris and Ed, so he can pass it on to you. But you were the first one that I can ever remember was doing that stuff, and now L.A. thinks it's a big deal. So you are a trendsetter.
Look at him. Look at this guy.
See you guys.
All right. Chris, thanks for the good work as always. Bill, thanks for the call. And say hi to Bobby Joe, and I will talk to you soon.
Well, dude, talk to you later.
Later, buddy.
Bye.
All right, so let's get into some education real quick. First and foremost, big news is a judge shot down the Invest in Ed proposition. Now, Ed, I don't know if that made your newscast.
No, Invest in Ed?
Yeah, this was another big thing in relation to education funding, which probably had to do with another tax.
Mm.
And so that was thrown out by a judge. Let's see, I got to get the... I closed that window by accident. I was on KGUN 9. And basically, just like they did it when they tried to do it a couple of years ago, there was problems with how they wrote it. I mean, this is what happens when you write your, when you have these organizations writing it themselves. If it's not tight, bad things happen.
Kicked out.
You know what I mean? And so what's interesting about, and how does that play, right, is the propositions can drive people to the polls depending on how much money and what the passion is of that group that's going to do it, right?
Absolutely.
So remember,
special interest, yeah.
I mean, this is what happened 2 years ago with the elections on Invest for the Red for Ed people. This is a major wind out of their sails. It was going to be almost $1 billion raised in new taxes. Superior Court judge has ruled to remove it from the ballot for the second time in 2 years. Things that were missing, how funds would be distributed to tap. This is things that were missing. You're going to love this. Raise $1 billion, right? But these are the things that were missing from the proposition written in it and why the judge tossed it. It did not say how funds would be distributed to staff and programs. Right?
Duh.
That the marginal tax rate would increasingly... So they basically did not tell anyone that the tax rate would increase for those affected by the tax in the proposition. State legislature would be banned from considering money raised through this tax when distributing other funds for education, and that paid petition circulators were giving improper bonuses.
Well, heck. You know, that's... what happens with the education?
They spent the time and money and sweat and blood to get 435,000 signatures to get it on the ballot. Maricopa Superior Court Judge Christopher Corey, quote, "The unfortunate victims are teachers and students."
Mm-hmm.
He just said, defendant Invest in Education quite simply let their teachers down for the second time since 2018.
Who's leading who, teachers? Who's leading you?
So then Justine Wadsack has been kind of upfront on this, explaining that the Arizona Education Association, in relation to, because of course they want schools to stay if for them, right, if you're the AEA, right, even though the CDC says kids should be back in school, transmission from kids isn't, you know, really anything. But of course, if you're the AEA, you want Donald Trump to lose, you want every Republican to lose in the legislature and get the legislature back. Remember that. So this is what your teachers are working on the last few days. We had Wednesday, it was the only when it's safe motor march in your car. I didn't see anybody. Maybe they're up in Phoenix. Or maybe it's this week. I got to figure this out.
No, I think it was last week.
Last week.
I didn't see anything about it.
Then we have the only when it's hashtag all your photos, only when it's safe, right? Then we have contact your governing boards, solidarity. Then, remember, this is about the safety of going back to school, right?
Is it?
Saturday was solidarity with the Black Lives Matters Unity March.
There you go.
For your Arizona Education Association.
That's what parents are worried about now.
Attacking cops and shooting people.
Mm-hmm. God, doesn't make any sense, does it?
Remember that little girl in Georgia whose mom hit the went around the wrong barricade and they got shot by the Black Lives Matter people? Do you guys remember that? That was only like 2.5 weeks ago. You don't remember that. But here's my favorite. My favorite two are yesterday and today.
Mm.
Yesterday was write your own obituary and read it to Doug Ducey. These are your
teachers. Teachers Association? Come on.
Write your own obituary and read it to Doug Ducey. And then followed up by, I think it's today, Ducey's death march of all of these people dying because they taught the kids in school.
This is... outrageous, and I don't know a word for it.
This tells you this is, anyway.
It's all political. It has nothing to do with the teachers or the kids. That's what it means. And Red for Ed, the same damn thing.
Now.
It's all about the money. It's all about the teachers. All about the unions.
We had Marana school board member Tom Carlson on saying that some of the teachers didn't want to come in and even do remotely, go to their classroom and teach from the classroom even though the kids
were
home.
With nobody else there?
Because of the HVAC.
Oh, stop it. Any kind of a damn excuse they can. They want to shut this down. The hell with the kids. Who's for the kids? Who's left?
My buddy up in North Phoenix who listens to the show decently, regularly says, so these are the same teachers that are not going to use their air conditioner or even go into an air conditioned building ever.
Right.
What, they're not going to go to the mall? They're not going to go? I mean, all those other places that have air conditioning? No wonder the U.S. rates below top 40 in the world for education.
It's so bull.
Let's get one more education story out before it's old, just to get Ed a little more.
Thank you.
A little more riled. I know Julie's going to hate me for doing this. So.
Leave me like this.
I mean, Julie already looks at me with a suspect eye right now. She's like, God,
what have you done to him?
What did you do to my Eddie Pooh? Let's get to
support teachers tomorrow, today. Take your take your pencils, erasers, everything, sanitizers and all that. Drop them off at any of 15 Sparkle Cleaners locations in town to help the teachers because they have to buy their own stuff for the kids because...
It's true.
Red for Ed's too busy marching.
Let's get to University of California, Santa Barbara, named after a saint. what do we got here? We have the teacher assistant. What's the teacher assistant? He wants to shoot his mouth off a little bit here. 790-2040 is the phone number. UCSB teacher assistant. His name is Tim Snediger. He's also a doctoral student in religious studies. Tweeted Saturday he would like to go in a time machine and assassinate Jesus of Nazareth sometime before his baptism. Snediger did not respond to several tweets and requests for comment from the College Fix online college news site. UC Santa Barbara also did not respond to multiple requests on Snedeker's tweet or if it felt that Christian students under his tutelage could feel alienated, that he would like to go back in a time machine and assassinate Jesus Christ sometime before his baptism.
Listen to this.
Let's go.
Is this a college student or a college professor?
He's a teacher assistant.
Thank
He's a doctoral study, brilliant, getting his doctorate in religious studies.
Good job.
I got to go to break because I know if I get Kathy on, I'm going to go way too late here. So let Kathy hold on, please. 8:49 in the morning. She wants to talk about teachers coming back to school when we come back. Wake up. Here we go. Ed, one of our favorite artists, Chris Boubini.
Yeah.
She says, tell Ed we always chilled our watermelons in the stream whenever we picnicked in the New Mexico mountains. A
See
sweet
that?
Memory.
It's nice and cold. Thank you.
You're like the Andy Griffith of watermelons. Let's go right back to the phone. She's waiting patiently. Kathy on line two. Kathy, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for taking my call. So I was telling Ed just a minute ago, I was looking for childcare once school, assuming school was going to go back on time, back at the beginning of June, end of May, and I called childcare and they said, well, we're not taking anybody until October because everything's closed down. And I said, these kids are going back to school. What are we going to do? And the director, the manager said, I've got three teachers here and they're going to have a meeting and they're not going back to school. I mean, they're determined they're not going back to school. And Ducey hadn't made a remark about it yet. This was before the 27th.
Right, correct.
So, you know, this is so agenda-driven. We can't, you know, we're told if we homeschool our kids, we're not qualified to do it.
Right.
But we can't go back to the classroom with them. We can't, you know, and I've got two kids with IEPs. No one can tell me what's going to happen with them.
What school district are you in?
Well, actually, we're in Marin, and Carl was trying to get through a little while ago. I've gotten a hold of someone, got a call in right now to see how they're going to handle my kids' IEPs, you know, because Carl and I've got the four grandkids.
Right.
And he was waiting to talk when you had the school board.
Yeah, I saw it after the commercial, after I let Tom go. I apologize.
That's okay. No worries. No worries. We just, I'm just livid, you know. I need some answers here. And I know my Marana people are great. You know, they were in Tucson District.
Right.
But we're moving them to Marana, so I've no doubt we're going to get taken care of much, much better. So,
well, keep up. Anyway. All I can tell parents is stay up on their school board members and tell them what you want to get done.
Yeah, well, that was my rant, Chris.
If we can provide a catharsis moment for Kathy, I'm there.
Hey, you guys are great. Love you guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Kathy. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
790-2040 is the phone number. Real quick, this is from KVOA. I want to get this story out before we lose time. This is TPD. This is from, who did this story? This is Lupita Murillo. Awesome. Good to see Lupita doing a story like this. The TPD is losing more officers than ever. It reached a critical point. May 29th, TPD came face-to-face with protesters, the near riot in downtown. A few short weeks later, Jason Winsky told the Digging Deeper team. I love that name. The Digging Deeper team. Quote, we've lost 23 officers since June, and that's way higher than the attrition rate. So Jason Winsky told Channel 4, 23 officers are gone since June at TPD, which, of course, makes things less safe for you. Everything from retirement to getting fired to leaving TPD for other jobs. These are personnel we cannot afford to lose. Sergeant Erdman, Steve Erdman, had been with the department 22 years. He worked internal affairs and investing homicides. He officially retired. Despite this, he will still be hitting the pavements. He signed up to be the DROP program, an incentive to keep experienced officers. I expect the numbers to keep getting worse. You know, you have a police chief. So think about the news story that we just talked about. A policeman, a black policeman, was assaulted inside of his car during a protest in Tucson. So, as we like to say, we have that going for us. Then at the same time, you have, I have to go to, I love this, right? So I got to go to the Arizona Republic for this one. The Tucson police chief used Twitter to announce four arrests on Saturday. This is from Helen Wiffering. What a great name that is. From the Republic. And says he questions the motives of protests who damage the property and retaliate against police. He said an officer, Frank Magos, spokesperson, said the black officer was punched near Broadway and Country Club. One person was charged with aggravated assault, two were charged with obstructing the highway, and one suspected of criminal damage. So Magnus says, is this supposed to help the cause? Well, you're the guy who is, you've promoted the cause.
Right? This is his cause.
I mean, you and
it shows.
You and the mayor have encouraged these people over the years to and not done much about them. Look at what happened to all those businesses downtown.
What does he care about the cause? He's the cop.
That's the best part. The idea that he's whining about they're not helping the cause,
it's ridiculous.
You've helped encourage the damage over the years. What do you think happens? I mean, remember, this is a police chief that he doesn't even know most of his officers. He's the guy in the ivory tower. And now he's like, what? What are you doing? That's surprising. Zach's coming up next. Mr. Buckmaster with his debate going on with Bruce Ash. It's going to be a heck of a day.
And Candidate Palooza tomorrow, Election Day.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.